first scripture reference we'll be going to will be Psalm chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the only begotten, the firstborn, and the heir of bone. And if you recall, heir of bone is used in the New Testament as, in King James, it's translated, you know, the earnest, or it's a token or down payment. And so the only begotten and the firstborn will be a great segue into the second part of which would be the heir of bone. Okay, so Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Says, why do the heathen rage? Okay, that's it. Let's close in prayer. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord had said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Okay. Something similar. Let's go to Psalm 118. So this day, it says there, the Lord said to me, this day I have begotten thee. Psalm 118, verse 22, says, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay, so possibly references to the Christ, the coming Christ, or, you know, God's only begotten Son, right? When you're the only begotten, means you're the only one, right? Okay, so let's go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14, and it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to mention John 3:16, right? And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 4. And we're going to pick this up. This is after the day of Pentecost. This is after the healing of the lame man, you know, double gate there. And actually, God gives a lot of ink to this because there's the next couple chapters after that. It's all about that. So it was pretty remarkable. Not only did, and people say, oh, this is the first recorded healing after the day of Pentecost, but I would argue on the day of Pentecost, when about 3,000 people got born again, there was some great healing there, right? Become from death to life. I mean, and then every moment, everyone, a single person after that. But it is a physical healing here, very remarkable. They took notice. So in verse 8, it says, chapter 4, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Sound a little bit what we read about in Psalm 118, right? And actually that reference or that prophecy, it is used throughout the whole Bible. It is all over the place. We read about it in Psalms, it's in Isaiah twice, it's in the Gospels, it's here, it's in the church epistles, it's even the writings after, it's just all over the place, and God's making a point. Okay, verse 11 again. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which became the head of the corner. Okay, was this after the day of Pentecost, right? This is the day, right? Not may or may not be the only begotten son, right? Verse 12. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 13. See a little bit more of this. 13:26. And this is Paul teaching in Antioch in Pisidia. Well, here is the context, verse 14. To read 14:15. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Okay, so we're going to jump down to 26. And Paul starts in this whole, like, history lesson, kind of like Stephen did, you know, when he gets up in front of people. He just lays it out from the beginning, starts it out. But we're going to pick up in 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, talking about Christ, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Okay, this is after he got up, right? He's seen about 500 plus people, and he was all over the place, the two, you know, so it was not done in a back, you know, in a back room or in an alley. This was wide open. Okay, verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So which day is it referring to in Psalm? When he got born again, he got raised from the dead, he got Holy Spirit. So that is the day, well, he got them, like John would say, you got to do the first thing before you do the second thing, right? He was the only begotten, and then he fulfilled all what was needed. And then he laid his life down on the cross. They put him in the sepulcher. God raised him from the dead. And God's saying at that point, this is the day I have begotten thee. Okay? So let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 12. chapter 1, verse 12. You didn't know that God wrote a few more books since this morning.
You're just fighting the scrolls.
That's right. Stuffed in the corner of the temple somewhere. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. I know we're kind of jumping the middle of this, but it'll kind of tie it up together. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first, and that should be hoped, first hoped in Christ, in whom you also hoped after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, or our bone, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Okay, so we know that once, since the day of Pentecost, and, you know, Romans 10:9-10, and since Acts 13, where 10, where it was given to the Gentiles, anyone could get born again. right? And so we're given this arrow bone, which is a token or down payment. And that's kind of like putting a deposit down. Like sometimes you may, you know, go look for a car and go, I'll give you $50, you know, to hold, you know, put the deposit. It's kind of meaning you may or may not, you know, be interested, but you'll hold it and I'll get my $50 back. It's also in a real estate term, earnest money. Again, same like a deposit. And of course, the more money you put down, the more serious you are about it. You know, if you say, oh, I hold this car, I'll give you, you know, $10,000, you know, you're pretty committed and you're going, you know, and they know that you're committed. What did God give us as his down payment unto us? That air bone, that Holy Spirit of promise. And it says we're sealed. And when God seals something, it's better than Tupperware. It's better than Ziploc. And I know it's like his stamp on it. And we know that God hid the mystery, right? No one twisted his arm to reveal it until he was ready to reveal it, right? And I'm reminded of that record in Acts 9 when God's trying to get Peter ramped up to go to the Gentiles to speak the word, right? Peter has that vision, you know, the sheet knitted at the four, you know, knotted at the four corners, let down, you know, all manner of beasts, you know, rise, Peter, you know, kill and eat. And Peter goes, no, sir, you know, not you, Lord. I never eat anything that is unclean. And God says, what I have cleansed, do not call common or unclean. Okay, God's speaking here. God sealed it. It's not going to leak out. It's a done deal. And we got that arabome. And God is all in on this down payment, on this deposit, this token. As we'll see, and then the rest of this, we're going to be looking at some of those attributes, some of those characteristics of this arabome. Okay? Let's just jump over verse 2. Jump back to verse 2. It says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Pretty committed. We get that all that quality, right? We get all of that. In verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame or without blemish before him. And it was in love, having predestinated us unto the, and that sonship, that's that word, weothesia, where you're placed as a child, you know, as a son, not by adoption, but by birth. We get that seed, right? Holy Spirit, and it, you know, adoption, you know, it could be changed. You could, you know, give them back up or, you know, anything, but we're seed. We are children of God. Can't be undone. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the sonship of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of God's will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And that's highly favored. We are highly favored, okay, in the beloved one, in Christ, in whom we have redemption of sins. And that's kind of, well, here we go, redemption's, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. So this is all God's grace. This is all in that package deal, that air bone, that Holy Spirit of promise that was made available. Let's go to verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. We don't get like individual spirits for, you got a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of knowledge. It's all in that package deal, you know, that that we have. We get the, and that's part of the reason of it. God gave us a spirit to get to know him, right? Not just to come up with our own ideas and what we think he ought to be and is. He gave us his word, but he also gave us spirit that we could know him. And this is something that God, you know, if you have a relationship with somebody, good idea to get to know them, right? And not what you think they are, you know, because I have preconceived notions and they're usually wrong. But God says, hey, we're going to give this so you can get to know me. We're going to read a little bit more about that. Verse 18, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know, have that experiential knowledge, what is that hope of his calling, and want the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. And then, so God wants us to get to know him and to get to know his power and what's available. And his power was demonstrated in the the raising of Jesus Christ. You know, it would have been sad. It's like, oh, you know what? I really wanted this. I planned this for a long time. I really wanted to do this. This is God speaking. But I couldn't do it. You know, I just came short. You know, my batteries were run down. I just couldn't do it. You know, no, it was on full display. And God wants us to get to know that. And by that arrow bone, that spirit, God's all in. It says, here, this is what I want you to get to know. This is part of it, you know. Chapter 2, I'm going to start 4 of Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. And it's by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So that air bone, that Holy Spirit now is like, okay, you've got stuff, great stuff now, and it's going to take ages for God to fully display all the great stuff he has in line for us. And that air bone, that down payment, couldn't understand it, but we don't have all that stuff yet, but God says, I'm giving you this. And it's not a cheap knockoff version of Holy Spirit. We don't get the stripped down base model. And as blasphemous as it may be, think, it is the same Spirit that Christ got. We didn't get any, you know, second rate thing. God gave me, I'm giving you all this, and you can know that I'm all in, and things are going to happen, and you got great things now. Let's go to 16, verse 16. Talking about the Gentile and the Judean, and says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit. That's another benefit of that. We have access to God. I don't have access to a whole lot of things in my life that are not nearly as... I can't go see my mayor in my town. You know, I can't even go to my bank all the time, you know. But no, we have access to God by this Spirit, this down payment. Okay, rest of that, verse 18. By one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, another perk, with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Huh, where did we hear that before? In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple, and that should be sanctuary. A lot of this was in that family camp this past summer. Okay, that's the sanctuary. That's where God resides, right? Because the temple, we had the, you know, the court of the Gentiles, you had the women's court, and then the men's court, and then you had the sanctuary, then you had the, you know, holy, and then the holy of holies, where God resided, and the priest could only go in there one time a year. God, all 24/7 constant. We have constant access to him. And people that went in there when they weren't supposed to, they didn't do very well. Okay, verse 22, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. There's just so many perks and benefits and characteristics of this Holy Spirit that we have, this air bone. It is just truly remarkable. And also, in 2 Corinthians, we don't go there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it talks about being sealed with the earnest of our inheritance. It also talks about being anointed too. So there's just so much rolled up in this. And for a lucky strike extra, let's go to chapter 4, start in 4. There is one body and one Spirit, and you are called in one hope of your calling. There's not a different calling for someone who makes over, you know, $200,000 a year, not, or someone who lives in a different geographical location. You know, the the Gentiles don't get a different calling or God or spirit who were, you know, of the Judeans. You know, you just want, God's making it really easy for everybody. Okay, one spirit, right? Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So that Holy Spirit, that Erebohim, is a big deal. And something we should really value. And if you're having a crappy day or junk or whatever, you know, just like speak in tongues or remind yourself of this and just know and just have all those things that God's telling us what's so available for us. And that junky, crappy stuff may not stop, but we know that we are God's kids and we're going to, you know, we are, you know, heaven bound and all hell can't stop us. Mm. And just all the benefits and perks we got. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Start in verse 12.
1:12?
Yes, 1:12. Unless there's a Colossians 12. Is there a Colossians 12?
That'd be nice.
All right, 1:12. Here we go. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints of life, who hath delivered or rescued us from the power of darkness. Great. Another perk, another benefit, another profit to that Erebohim. And hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, is not in the critical Greek text, it was probably assimilated from Ephesians. Or other scripture, but the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Okay, so when there's a firstborn, it's not like only begotten or only child. You're first, which indicates that there might be at least a second. Has to be at least a second. Yeah, I think there's a little bit more than that. We know of the body of Christ, right? Okay, so he's the firstborn of the creation, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that among all he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Okay, verse 27. I jump down there. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, so he's the firstborn, and he is the, you know, fullness. And we see that God is in all, and we got all of that. Don't let, it's easier said than done, I know. We try not to let our circumstances or our flesh, you know, determine that. Whether we get it right or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't negate what God has done. God has given us the full measure, the Christ, the Holy Spirit, with all these, you know, accompaniments that just are just astounding. And if he's all in on that, then we know, we absolutely can rest assured that the other stuff is coming. Let me see, I'm gonna read this. Okay, verse 6. Yes, I do wanna read. Chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 6. It says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Okay, did we receive a knockoff imitation, second rate, stripped down base model?
No.
No. Okay. So as we received him, let's endeavor to walk in him. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And this is things to watch out for. This will definitely, as we were talking about earlier, Wesley, beware lest any man spoil you, carry you away through philosophy, man's wisdom, vain deceit, empty delusions, after the traditions of men. And what did Jesus Christ say in the Gospels about the tradition of man?
Contrary to the word.
Right. It makes the promises of God of none effect. And of the world, and the traditional men after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. The beggarly elements of the world. And that's what you're saying. It's like, what is the attraction to that? But people get caught up in that. And it's just, you know, it's just not even close to the things that God has given us as a down payment and what is to come and what he has provided for us. You know, he goes, I asked my son to give his life. He performed all that was necessary. Here, please take this. I'm begging you, please take this. Choose life and not death. Good gravy. Verse 9. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. And we're complete in him because he's completely in us. I mean, we are complete in him. So we got to consider those things, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you're also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Some great benefits, great benefits. Okay, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. See, this is all the good stuff of the word, all the perks and benefits, which is, it's foundational, I know. And we all know this, but it's just great to be so reminded of just some of these things and just what we have, you know, and what we could share with others, you know. It's just astounding. And God has given it as a down payment. He's all in. He provided the very best and has done it all. And we just have to just be meek enough to say, yes, thank you. Chapter 8, verse 1. Says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The rest of that verse is not in any critical Greek text. So there's another perk, which is just no condemnation. Doesn't matter what our silly heads think or what someone may say or, you know, or what we did. It's just no. Can you imagine, you know, because it's Christ in us and God looks at us like Christ is before God. Is he like, you know, there's no condemnation. We ought to consider ourselves the same way. We are too. It is something we are to do. Verse 10 of Romans 8. And if Christ be in you, that's rhetorical, should read, since Christ be in you, the body, meaning the flesh, the old man nature, is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay? Because of Christ, because of the righteousness of Christ, it is life. And that's just a down payment we've been given. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, read this a few times, quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit dwelleth in you. Let's go to verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear. Okay, let's stop right there. That spirit is referring to the man's nature, you know, the things regarding man, not necessarily a spirit. Okay, but when did that happen? Because of consent, it says, you know, the spirit of fear again, you know, again to fear. So if it happened, if it's again, it had to happen at least one other time before. When did that happen, right? In the garden, right? When God said, you know, don't eat that. Because in the day you do, dying thou shalt die. And then when he did, he got the old man nature, and the first thing he did was hid himself from God from fear. And ever since then, and we don't have to do that because we got a new nature now. So much so, the nature of Christ, it goes on to say, but you have received the spirit, the totality of the new nature of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Remember, it's only used three times. Here is one, and the other time was in the Gospels when Christ was, you know, talking to God. You know, Abba, Father. It's a term of endearment. Not just any child out there is going to come up to me and say, you know, oh, Daddy, 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 I don't know you. You're not my kid. You know, I'm not your father. But we can do that with God because we have that intimate relationship that was, you know, born in us with that new nature, that arabon, that down payment. God says, I am your dad and you are my kids. And I don't recommend taking the position of being against God or his children. You know, things may not happen now, but God is just and, you know, he's keeping track. Mm-hmm. We don't have to recompense. We just walk as God would like us to walk. Where are we? Okay, verse 16. And the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God. It's a good deal. Join heirs with Christ. Yeah, thank you, please. If so, be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. For I reckon, or I come to the logical conclusion, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And how do we know that? Because we have the arabon, we have the down payment, we have that Holy Spirit. I'm not saying it's easy down here, or, you know, it. I think it's going to get crappier before it gets better here. But God's on the throne. He's given us the, you know, the down payment. He said, you guys are coming with me when it's time. And just don't focus on that. Just walk with this package deal I'm giving you. For the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19. We're going to read a little bit more of this, if you don't mind. For the earnest expectation, and that's not the arabon, that's like an intense desire here. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, from the glorious into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Okay, when Adam disobeyed and spirit died, was man the only thing that changed then? You're no, right. Right? Thorns and thistles, you know, sweat of thy brow, you know, your toe of the ground. So that really racked and ruined everything. Well, it's not God's plan. But again, we have that down payment, and we know when we get gathered, God's going to start making things right. And the creation, you know, it's like, and it even talks about that in Isaiah, like 50, in that prophecy of Jesus Christ, you know, the righteous servant. You know, it says like, you know, the hills and will skip and everything will be just so like, you know, they're just waiting for it to happen. And we all, not only the creation, but the created, we too. God daily, right? How often do I say God? We would like, if we had control of that button, it'd be like, <"Do-do-do-do-do."> It would have been hit a long time ago. But good thing God's in control of that. Verse 21, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth into pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits. Now this goes along with the first, kind of similar parallel with the firstborn. Again, if there's a first fruit, there at least has to be a second fruit, right? Jesus Christ was also called the first fruits. And it was a thing they did back in the, you know, I guess the Old Testament times where, you know, the first harvest, the first fruits of the season, you know, they would be the wave offering. They would offer it to God, right? And when Jesus Christ, after he was risen from the dead out of the tomb and Mary saw him, right? When she goes, you know, he said, no, don't touch me. I have to, you know, ascend to my Father. He goes, but I go to my God and your God and my Father and your Father. But the thing was, he was presenting himself as the first fruits. He had to be clean. So, and God says, very well accepted, thank you. And I'll accept the second fruit as they come. The first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. We got the Spirit. We're not gonna get up there and I get a peek into my like squirrel nest of a mind here. You know, when there's an angel gonna be up in heaven saying, all you arrivals, new arrivals, go over to this side of the kingdom and trade in your old Holy Spirit and pick up the new one, and then go over to this side of the kingdom and, you know, go to the Bema because we'd like to start you know, as soon as possible in the next couple hundred years, you know. We have that spirit. It's the whole package. Again, we didn't get a scaled down, you know, weak thing. This is a game changer, and for all of eternity. And it's really something to be admired and appreciated. Now, where was I? Sorry about that. That I let you guys in on that nest thing there. verse 25. 24. For you are saved unto hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, and that's singular, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us, which groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, in the context, what is our infirmity in this situation? Being desired to get the new bodies for the new thing to happen. And that arrow bone makes the intercession in, you know, accordance to the will of God. We don't know. We speak in tongues or, you know, and it makes intercession for us. And because not only that, there's other situations that talks about, you know, we just speak in tongues, but, you know, we don't know what's going on always. But Spirit and God, let them work it out. You know, we just kind of do our part. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, that it, that's how that should read, that it, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God or in harmony with God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Wow. Now, what are we conformed to? His bodily fashion? Like Mary says, are you the gardener? You know, when Jesus Christ... No, well, if you come to my house, you'll see my yard and plants, and you'll know I'm not a gardener. So that doesn't. But we're not. It's the image, that Holy Spirit. That's, you know, that. And it does say to him, you know, mature in that, but that's the image that we... And Jesus Christ was the firstborn, and we are born again among many brethren. Hmm. That's us. We have that. We have that complete package. And verse 31, because it's one of my favorite ones, especially in the context here. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Mm-hmm. Amen to that? Amen. All right, we're going to close in 1 Peter here. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter. Gennaro's First Peter over there.
There you go.
Okay, First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna wane over the years. It's not gonna fade away. It's not gonna corrupt or decay. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I did some traveling before I do what I do now. I made reservations, and you get there at a hotel. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, we have no reservations for you. It's like, what? You know, especially now, you know, sometimes going through third-party places, you know, it's just in the ethos. It's like, no, we have no record of that. You know, God's not going to be like, oops, sorry. I even went to a professional football game, and I had tickets. You know, back then, you know, you actually had to go to Ticketmaster, and they'd mail you the thing, right? So when I was sitting in my seat, and I had a ticket for it, and a guy came up a little bit later, and he had a printed ticket for the same exact seat I was in.
Yeah.
So God's like, you know, you're not going to get there until someone has your seat, you know, in heaven. It's like, oh, sorry. No, this is kept by God. It's reserved. It's not going to fade away. It's not defiled, okay? Verse 5, and it's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.